Fevzi, how are you, sir?
Hello, I'm very well, thanks. Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, and to you. Now then, I mean, it's true, isn't it, that actually at the moment, gadgets, when it comes to thinking about Christmas, they will be a popular investment.
Yeah, and it's a good time to be thinking about them right now because you've got Black Friday, so this is the American sort of traditional day upon which things get very cheap. But Black Friday has become almost November, essentially. So even now, although Black Friday is not for a couple of weeks yet, but even now you've got all these deals going on. It's been going on throughout the month. So I thought we'd take a look at some of those perhaps a little bit later on as well, some of the standout deals. But if you are looking to, for example, replace or you know, invest in some technology, particularly, you know, all prices, but obviously the bigger the ticket, the item, the more the savings. So it's a good time to do this. And there's various good tools that you can use to look at deals as well. So we can perhaps mention some of those.
We will do that when we get onto that very soon. Yep, let's start though with our gadget of the week. And this is like a foreign language to me, so you're going to have to explain this one. The Google Pixel 4 XL. What exactly are we talking about here?
So this is a smartphone, and it's actually branded by Google. So Google make the Android operating system, which is obviously a hugely popular operating system that runs on, I think, probably most smartphones these days. Google produce it, but normally they give the operating system to other manufacturers like Samsung or LG, who put it into their own machines. But Google try and produce what they think of as a sort of best of breed device themselves. They make one model a year. It's the range is called the Pixel range, and this is a fourth generation. So it's the Pixel 4 XL, which means that it's the one with the bigger screen. So this has got a 6.3-inch screen. And there's a number of benefits to this, and the reason why I picked it out, because there's so many phones that one could look at. Normally, when Android gets installed by Samsung or other manufacturers, what those manufacturers do, they add a layer of what we call cruft, like unnecessary software on top of it to try and make their offering unique, because they don't want to offer exactly the same as all their competitors offer. Usually all that does is it kind of slows down the machine and just makes it less responsive and less good. When you get a Google smartphone, it comes with what's called stock Android. That means it's a version of Android that hasn't got all that cruft added onto it that we don't need, so our phones will perform better. And it also means, because of that, that you'll have more we'll have quicker updates of the operating system when they become available, and for longer, so the phone will arguably have a longer useful life, because when you've got the Samsung version of Android, you rely on Samsung to produce it, and when they're bored with it and want to push you to buy a new one, then they just stop producing it and you get left with what's otherwise a good smartphone but without the crucial security updates, for example. Stock Android, that's a good thing. A couple of other features I liked on it as well. All these phones now have got voice recognition, so the sort of Amazon Echo or Google Assistant, that sort of thing, where you see, you know, where you say, hey, you know, whatever, tell me this.
Yeah.
And the way all of those work traditionally is that essentially the device that you've got in your hand or in your room just makes a recording of the sound. It then sends a recording of your request, you know, your voice, to their computers, which then does the analysis and sends back a recording for it to speak. So, funnily enough, a smart speaker is actually quite dumb. It's not really doing anything smart at all, just listening, recording, sending and receiving. This phone is almost unique, I think, in that it can do the voice recognition and the dictation on the machine itself. Now, that gives rise to two advantages. One is it's quicker, because you haven't got that delay of it having to send the dictation up and bring it back again. And the other thing is security, because Google is, I think, starting to list the fact that, you know, there are concerns about the fact that they're storing so much information about us. Mm. And one way of reducing that is not to record everything we say to our smartphones, please, and not to keep it on your systems and use it, you know, for whatever purpose you wish to. So, because this is being done on the device itself, it has that benefit where it's responsive and it's better for privacy. So, thumbs up. Also, the camera is arguably the best camera on any smartphone at the moment. Certainly gives the top-of-the-line iPhone a good run for its money. So, I think if you're after a good camera and you're an Android user, then give this one serious consideration. Otherwise, look at the top-end iPhone.
Really interested as well, going back to what you were saying about the life expectancy almost of these devices, certainly with us at home at the moment. So I use an iPhone and my wife's got an iPad, and she's got quite an old iPad now, and increasingly various parts of that iPad are starting to become defunct, and I almost feel like well, we're a bit cheated here. There's an expectation after a while that you're just going to buy a newer model when really it's essentially doing what we've always wanted it to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a brilliant point. Apple and Samsung and others have actually been fined in European courts for essentially planned obsolescence. So Apple's view, I believe, is that a machine, it should be, you know, lasting for about 3 years. It'd be great if you bought one every year, in their opinion, but they're willing to let you have it for about 3 years. After that, you start to get into that slightly difficult territory where they may not do the updates. Now, particularly with Apple, this is a problem. So with Windows, okay, so for example, support for Windows 7 is coming to an end now, but they've been supporting it for 10 years. So Microsoft have been supporting it for 10 years. And what they've done is made sure that even though it's not their current operating system, obviously you've got Windows 10 and Windows 8.1 and all that after that came after 7, even though it's not been their current operating system, they've been doing the security updates for it for 10 years.
Right.
So it means that we've been able to safely use it. Apple's policy is different. They only do updates on the current version of the operating system, which is currently iOS 13. So if your phone can't get to iOS 13, if it's stuck on 12 because it's older and the hardware doesn't support it, that means not only do you not get new features, that's fair enough, but you don't get the security updates. Uh-huh. And therefore, your phone, which is in every other way perfectly serviceable, stops being safe to use online. And who can use a phone that doesn't go online? So you know, that sort of obsolescence has to change. What they should be doing is doing security updates for all recent versions. So iOS 13, 12, 11, 10, they should all get security updates and possibly earlier than that. And that's not happening at the moment. So, you know, I think you and your wife are right to be disgruntled, because I've got very old iPads that I now use for specific purposes. I use one of them in the studio here just for touch buttons to trigger certain things, but I dare not take it online. But that will probably work for another 10 years. You know, it's built brilliantly. It's such a shame they build their iPhones and iPads so well and then nobble them in terms of the longevity of the software support.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well when you have updates. So again, with the iPhone recently, we took the, I don't know, you all know this, 13 point something or other update. And all of a sudden with emails, the sent items now don't necessarily come through properly. All sorts of problems there. And I went into one of the shops and said, can you help? Because somebody said to me, the best thing you can do is to go back to your previously installed update. I went into the shop and they said, oh, no, we're not going to help you in here. they literally didn't want anything to do with me at all.
Yeah, you have a very narrow opportunity once a new version of iOS comes out to roll back. It's almost, you know, a few days, if that.
Right.
So the advice for iOS and Apple users in particular, but this is also general advice, is don't be upgrading to the latest, you know, brand new 13. If you're on 12 and 13 just comes out, don't jump to it. Wait, because since iOS 13 came out, which is, you know, just I think a couple of months ago, I think we've had 5 or 6 revisions of, you know, 13.1, 13.1.1, etc. And you don't really want to do that. I mean, I experiment with my iPad because it's less critical if it starts misbehaving. But my iPhone, I will not upgrade to any time. And sometimes I've come right to the point where they're about to launch 14, let's say, and then I'll finally go to 13.
Yes.
And I'll sort of stay behind the game a little bit because, you know, I don't want to be a guinea pig for them. They should test their software properly before they release it. And that's not just a comment directed at Apple, because, you know, equally Android has problems as well.
Yeah, and also it's worth bearing in mind with those updates, which normally you get asked, do you want to take this one? And on this particular occasion, I think I'd had a message which I kind of half read, which said, you know, if you don't do anything about this, it will happen tonight. And sure enough, it happened and there was no looking back.
Yeah.
So you've got to be careful with that. We've got to do the star rating for the Google Pixel 4 XL. What are we scoring that?
Four stars out of 5 because of the camera because of this speech recognition on the machine itself. Plus, it's got radar built into it. I'm serious. It's got little radar beams coming out. They've kind of put this technology in. They haven't quite found a good use for it yet, but it detects your hand as you go to reach for the phone. So one of the things it starts doing is starts trying to recognize your face, because it uses your face to unlock the phone as opposed to a fingerprint.
Uh-huh.
But I think that in the future, we're going to be able to sort of swipe you know, the air above our phones and get it to skip tracks on our music and things like that.
Amazing.
So I think it's a feature in search of a really killer application at the moment, but I'm sure that will come.
Right,
maybe musical instruments, maybe we turn it into a theremin.
Yeah, it could do, couldn't we? Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Fevzi is with us, Gadget Guru, of course, and he's only got a few minutes with us this afternoon. So if you want to place a call, this is my number.
BBC Sussex.
Fevzi, our gadget detective, is with us this afternoon, and this is a question more about you, really. I know the answer to this one, but you'll explain in detail. This is from Abs, who says, is there an online page that shows where Fevzi has been recently talking on the radio and you can listen again? That's your website, isn't it?
Well, it is, but actually the best way to keep up with that is to go to Twitter. It's at Gadget Detective. Look there. I mean, to be honest with you, a lot of the stuff I do is quite ad hoc. I think the least notice I've had has been 60 seconds of a slot that we've done. So sometimes it's a bit hard. But the good thing is that most of it is on the BBC, and then you've got typically 30 days on BBC Listen Again as well. So Twitter's the best place to keep up with that information because it changes quite a lot from day to day.
Fair enough. I've got a slightly cryptic message on the text this afternoon. Fevzi, what was that jet wash toothpick? Was one of your favourites. Does that mean something to you?
Yeah. It's called a Waterpik, which is the brand name. So W-A-T-E-R-P-I-K. And the model that I went for, and actually the one I use myself, is so these are things that effectively jet water in the gaps between your teeth, and you can use them either in addition to dental floss or instead of, and they're very quick to use. I mean, you can do your whole mouth in, you know, under a minute with one of these things. And the one that we looked at was one where it didn't rely on a main supply, because a lot of bathrooms don't have a main supply, and you don't want to be trailing leads all over the place. So, and it was just really rather good. And the first time, you know, you use it, it's quite a shock. Your gums are quite shocked by it, even though there's different settings, and, you know, you might even get a bit of blood and so forth. But it works really well. And the way I knew it worked well is that I did an experiment where I would brush my teeth, then I would floss my teeth in the conventional way.
Uh-huh.
Then I used the Waterpik, and the Waterpik still picked out stuff that wasn't
really
picked up by it. But yeah, so it depends how fastidious you are. But I think it also helps sort of make your gums healthier as well, because it's sort of blasting water. So it's kind of interesting. There ones by Philips that do like three little squirts per tooth. You know, you press the button and it'll do three squirts in a row. This one is a lot more sort of heavyweight. It's a really good thing, and it leaves your mouth feeling, you know, great. And but just remember to close your lips over the nozzle tip before you switch it on, because otherwise the whole bathroom gets showered in water.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, just check it out. It's Waterpik, and if you look on places like Amazon, although there are other retailers, you find that you get deals on them from time to time. And the way to tell, now I said to you I'd give you a tip about how to get bargains and how to know when something is really a bargain.
Yeah.
If you're looking on Amazon, often on Amazon you see things that say, you know, it's half price or this much off, but you don't really know if that's a real deal or not, that they may have just put it up just before bringing it back down again. That happens often, and particularly Amazon, because the pricing is dynamic. There is a website called camelcamelcamel.com. I swear it's called camelcamelcamel.com.
I'm typing this in because I don't believe you.
Yeah, no, honestly, believe me. And their logo is, funnily enough, a camel. Now, in that, all you have to do is, let's say you see an item on Amazon, you copy and paste the link to the item and you drop it into the Camel 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 website, and what it does is it gives you the price at which that particular item was sold either by Amazon or by third parties selling through Amazon over time. So you can say over a month, over a year, or for as long as it's been listed, and you can see then if the current price is genuinely price or whether it's usually higher or lower than that. And that's really, it's really the best tool. I wish it worked for other websites, but at the moment it's only working for Amazon. But you know, a lot of it's really useful.
Yeah.
It tells you, is that a real deal or not?
I'm looking at it now. Great idea.
And I'll give you one other tip, if I may.
Yeah.
There's a website called reviewmeta.com.
Mm-hmm.
R, review as in, you know, reviewing something, and then meta, M for mother, E-T-A, all one word, .com. And what that does is it seeks to weed out the fake reviews. So you see some item and it's got, you know, rating of 4.8 out of 5, and you're thinking, is that genuine or is that just they paid some company to put a load of great reviews up there for them. Yeah. And what it does is it can't be 100%, but it looks for the signs of fake reviews. So, for example, is there a sort of common turn of phrase used in a lot of the reviews? Are the reviewers tending to review items from a particular manufacturer? You know, have those reviewers had reviews removed in the past for being fake? And what they do is they then take out the ones that they suspect of being fake and give you the rating of what's left.
Gotcha.
And it's quite interesting because some of them you can see they've got like 90% suspected fake reviews. Others are 100% pucker, as it were. So reviewmeta.com, it's not a hard and fast tool because you can't know for sure that something is fake, but it does this sort of statistical analysis, and it's a really useful tool combined with Camel to be able to shop sort of wisely, to be a sort of savvy shopper, as it were.
I know we're drifting around all over the place, but I find this fascinating. These companies like ReviewMeta and so on, which I'm looking at now, what do they get out of offering this to you? Do they make money through advertising? Is that their thing?
Yeah, I'm not sure what their particular business model is, but they're probably collecting data on, what products you're interested in and so forth. But I'm not sure of the precise business model for that. It is clever. And I mean, you're right to mention that, because with both of those, you're giving them information about the product that you're interested in, because it can't work unless you tell it what it is you're interested in buying, you know. But when you do that, you must be aware that, you know, you are sharing information. But at the moment, we are bleeding information about ourselves. We're sort of shedding information at huge rates, and the likes of sort of Google and Amazon and the rest of it are scooping it all up, which is why, for example, when you look up, I don't know, a bike on Amazon, and then you go to another website, you see an advert for exactly the same bike. That's because they're tracking you from website to website using what are called tracking cookies. So, one good tip, install the latest version of the Firefox browser if you can, because there are some new tools in the latest version that really interfere with Facebook and other companies trying to track you. I mean, it doesn't stop it completely, but it works because Facebook are not happy. So, and it's not just Facebook. It pops up and it actually tells you, you know, you're doing nothing to do with Facebook. You're not logged onto Facebook. And I don't want to single them out because they're not the only ones that do it, but they're obviously a high-profile proponent of this sort of activity. You're not logged in, you've not got a tab open, and still Facebook are trying to track what you do around the rest of the internet. It's almost like they think it belongs to them.
All right, we've got about a minute or two left. Let's just talk a little bit then about getting some deals. This whole thing that has become a big deal in this country is Black Friday of the last couple of years, where you can maybe get a few bargains. And genuinely, you can pick up a bargain. Last year, we've invested in one of these Alexa devices. We hadn't had one before. And the only reason I bought one for my wife was because, frankly, I got on a good deal on Black Friday. So the deals are there to be had.
Yeah, so the way to look at this, and my advice is, know that you want something and then look for a deal on it. Don't just look for good deals and buy something because it's cheap, because that's the wrong way around, and that way you spend a lot of money. But some Black Friday deals I picked up that are particularly noteworthy are the Amazon Fire TV Stick 4K model. So this is able to stream up to 4K onto your screen from the Amazon Fire service, and on there you can get YouTube and various other things as well. And what's really nice is that the remote control on the 4K model has got Alexa voice input built into it, so you can use it as an Alexa machine with a screen because it's attached to your TV. Plus, even if you're not interested in 4K, even if you don't have a 4K TV, the machine is a lot faster. It's a lot more responsive because it has to be to deal with 4K. And they've reduced it from £49, which is a normal price, down to £29.99. I'm not quite sure about this, you may need to order it through Amazon's Echo unit by saying, you know, Alexa, you know, buy me one of these, please. So they're trying to encourage use of that. But that's a genuine deal. And again, if you look it up on Camel, you'll see that that's really, you know, a good deal. Also, AirPods. So AirPods are the little in-ear, truly wireless earphones that Apple produce for Bluetooth headphones. They've recently introduced the Pro version, which have got noise reduction. But what that means is that there's been a big drop in the price of the standard AirPods, which are still great. They just don't have active noise reduction. So if you go onto Amazon for that, you can check it out, and there's a big drop in the price for that. Also, we mentioned the Google Pixel phones, the Pixel 3a, which is the last year's model, plus the Pixel 4, which is a brand new model, have all had big cuts in their price from Google themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think from the 3A, they've cut about £70 off that. So, and it, the reason I mention it is also it's unusual to get good deals on the on brand new tech ones that have just been released. It's like with the AirPods when there's a new model out, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but here the Pixel 4 is reduced as well. So those are the deals that I plucked out. There's a good website you can go to, which is called hotukdeals.com.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also great for picking out deals. But please listen to me. I speak from experience. Just wander on there aimlessly looking for bargains because you'll end up spending money that you wouldn't otherwise have spent. Just have only use it, please. Use it when you need, you know what you need to buy and you just want to see if there's any deals on a new telly or a new whatever, you know. Don't go on there and say, oh, that's really good. I mean, the number of power tools I've got that I've never used. And now I promise you this. I've now just bought a big storage box to put them in.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's not quite the idea, is it?
No, I bought the tools, now I bought the storage box.
Brilliant stuff. And as ever, if you want to find Fevzi online, remind us again, it is...
It's on Twitter, @GadgetDetective.
Yeah, and it's great to follow you on Twitter, and it's great to have you on the show this afternoon. Fevzi, thank you.
Cheers, bye now.
See you again next time. It is 2:35.